You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back, everybody. Don't give up hope. We'll bring you some justice and reason to stay engaged every day on this program, especially for this last week of Civic Media's multi-state Text to Win Go for the Green and Gold contest. We've had a bunch of winners already. It is an exciting time each day on this fine program. In the 5 o'clock hour, I will drop a word to win. You text it in via the app. Don't text it in the normal way, just via the app. And that will get you entered to win a daily prize of either $200 or gold jewelry, and it will get you entered to win one of our grand prize, which is two tickets, club level, indoor, to watch Green Bay play those dastardly Minnesotans in football up on the tundra on the 23rd of November. That's a noon game. The word to win this hour, you're going to want to text it in now. Get your entries in before 6 p.m. is football, F-O-O-T-B-A-L-L. You know, the thing that in Europe they call soccer, but here we call it football. Folks, again, best of luck to you. With that, I want to bring on my very special expert next guest. He's been on this fine program before. It is Professor Lowell Barrington, professor of political science from Marquette University. Welcome back, Lowell. It's good to have you.
Thanks, Maggie. It's good to be back.
So President Trump and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel announced a proposal, an agreement Monday to end the war in Gaza, to much sort of pomp and circumstance, if you will, and basically put out a demand that Hamas accepts this or else. Let's start with just the general contours of the plan that was announced today. Can you give people the highlights, Professor?
Well, they announced that they have come to an agreement, meaning President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu, on a plan that would be a peace plan, but of course included things like demanding Hamas surrender or face destruction, which is an interesting negotiating tactic, right? And I think, again, there is some hope more broadly in the region that, in fact, there could be a process that would involve, for example, the transfer of power eventually to the Palestinian Authority, and getting them, again, to sort of take over that governmental process in Gaza. But there are a lot of conservatives in Netanyahu's own government that don't want the Palestinians to ever have authority to oversee things in Gaza. And in fact, want to pursue a significant new settlement approach for Gaza, like in the West Bank. So, again, I am always happy when people sit and talk to each other and come up with plans. But this one is one of these, again, long way from being finalized in any lasting peace.
And folks, just for some context here, when we talk about the Palestinian Authority, that is the government body that basically exercises partial civil or governmental control over some of the Palestinian enclaves and encampments in the West Bank area. It's their basically government representation. And as you were mentioning, Professor Barrington, basically this was a demand, you know, agree to this or else, and the proposal includes complete disarmament of Hamas, a complete demilitarization under the supervision of some independent monitors. They would have to accept less than complete Israeli withdrawal from the territory that's in dispute, and Hamas would have absolutely no role in governing Gaza in the future. And when it was, I was trying to read through the actual document, Professor, before we got on air,
right,
and all I was able to find was basically kind of almost like a head faint towards the Palestinian Authority, meaning they would have some authority or power in a post-war Gaza, as the legitimate representative of the Palestinian people. But it was very vague as to what, if any, real power the Palestinian Authority would have. What odds do you put on it, Professor, that Hamas would agree to these terms?
Well, first of all, Hamas is pretty fractured at the moment, and so it is one of the challenges of any part of this process is who exactly are we, you know, talking to if we try to finalize an agreement, and can one person from Hamas actually speak for the different sort of parts of Hamas at this point? But I also think that it's, you know, again, what's the incentive for Hamas here? I mean, they've already been militarily, you know, hammered, and in Gaza has been largely destroyed. We've had a humanitarian crisis now for a long time. And there's not I don't quite know the incentive for Hamas to sort of say, sure, we'll go along with this agreement. I could see some incentives potentially for the Palestinian Authority representatives. But again, even there, you're trusting that this agreement is actually going to lead to real autonomy and real control. And certainly at the same moment that we've had new statements by foreign leaders supporting a two-state settlement, I mean, we're farther away from a two-state settlement than we've been in a long time. So I think this is, you know, this is not something that we should expect to go smoothly.
And to your point, Professor, as far as I was able to discern, the proposal, again, announced today by President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel, says absolutely nothing, literally nothing concrete about any kind of pathway to Palestinian statehood. You know, the carrot, if you will, within the proposal appears to be a prisoner exchange, that Hamas right. would get about 250 inmates serving life sentences and about 17 others serving shorter sentences that were detained after the October 7th, 2023 attacks on Israel. Folks, if you're just joining us, I've got Professor Lowell Barrington of Marquette University, Professor of Political Science. We're talking about where things stand this afternoon in terms of the conflict in Gaza. Professor, if you don't mind, I'd like to listen to a little bit of what both Donald Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu had to say today. Jacob, let's do cut 25.
Prime Minister Netanyahu and I have just concluded an important meeting on many vital issues, including Iran, trade, the expansion of the Abraham Accords, and most importantly, we discussed how to end the war in Gaza, but it's just a part of the bigger picture, which is peace in the Middle East. At least we're at a minimum very, very close, and I think we're beyond very close.
And this as well from the president.
Israel would have my fallback into finish the job of destroying the threat of Hamas. But I hope that we're going to have a deal for peace. And if Hamas rejects the deal, which is always possible, as you know, Bibi, you'd have our fallback in. To do what you would have to do.
And along those same lines, let's listen to Prime Minister Netanyahu.
But if Hamas rejects your plan, Mr. President, or if they supposedly accept it and then basically do everything to counter it, then Israel will finish the job by itself. This can be done the easy way, or it can be done the hard way, but it will be done.
And this from
everybody
Prime
asks,
Minister
what is your plan for the day after Hamas? Here's our plan. Pass it in the cabinet. All our hostages, both those who are alive and those who died, all of them will return home immediately. Hamas will be disarmed. Gaza will be demilitarized. Israel will retain security responsibility, including a security perimeter for the foreseeable future.
Professor Barrington, notably, there was no discussion of the ongoing humanitarian crisis, which I it struck me as odd. What do you make of that? And then I wanted to ask a follow-up question about what Prime Minister Netanyahu's incentives might be in this moment. If you can address the humanitarian question first and then Prime Minister's incentives.
Sure. I mean, the two people there, President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu, them addressing the humanitarian crisis would be a really awkward moment. The United States government has acknowledged that, but has generally downplayed some of the reasons for it, or certainly tried to imply that, you know, aid is getting in more easily than it is, and lots of things like that. And certainly the Israelis have tried to do that as well, to acknowledge this, but to again throw the cause for all of this back on Hamas, right? That Hamas, mm-hmm. and again, Hamas's attack was horrible, and a response to it was justified. The question is, what kind of response, and are we seeing something appropriate in that response? I would also note that the when you are trying to reach a lasting peace, there are ways that you talk about things and ways you don't. And I understand this idea of portraying strength, and there's some thought that can help you, but you know, the there's the easy way and the hard way line is just one of these things that really doesn't help the situation here. And one other thing really quickly I want to mention. So the Palestinian Authority has, like lots of leaders around the world, right? They've expressed support for this proposal. They've expressed support for the idea. But the question is kind of, again, what's next? And it's really important to note that the Palestinian Authority, while welcoming the plan, also stated that it will work with not just the United States, but its other partners to reach this kind of deal that paves the way for a two-state solution, right? So for the Palestinian Authority to say they are accepting of this peace plan or proposal is not the same thing as saying they have the same vision Israel has going forward. Those are two just very different situations.
Yes. If you could, we've got about a minute left. Can you talk a little bit about the political situation in Israel for Prime Minister Netanyahu and his incentives and where they may lie and why he may still be deploying some strong arm rhetoric?
Well, there's two things. One, I mean, actually, it's interesting to note that President Trump is actually very popular in Israel. He has been portrayed in the Israeli media, and I think maybe rightly, as standing up for Israel and, you know, protecting their interests when maybe other leading world powers have not. Netanyahu is not so popular, although, again, he certainly is in this difficult situation, because if he does make concessions, he can lose the part of his coalition that doesn't even want to see this kind of plan in place, right? I mean, there are people, again, in his government that want to see no deal and want to, in fact, start moving toward settlement.
We're going to come right back with Professor Barrington of Marquette University. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. This hour is Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold Multi-State Text to Win contest. You text in this word, football, FOOTBALL, via the Civic Media app. You'll get entered to win two daily prizes of either $200 cash or gold jewelry, and one grand prize, two club-level indoor seats to Green Bay versus Minnesota in November, plus a gas card to get you to the game. That's a $1,500 value. Good luck to each and every one of you. We're joined by Professor Lowell Barrington, political scientist with Marquette University. Professor, I have always been incredibly interested in foreign policy, in diplomacy. And we've seen some extraordinary speeches in the General Assembly for the United Nations. I don't think we have ever seen anything from an American president that was quite like what we saw last week, and I do not mean that positively. What message was Donald Trump sending to American allies? And what do you think the takeaway from such a mangled performance at the UN is here in the United States?
Well, it always depends on who we're talking about as our allies, I think. I mean, I'm sure that a lot of European leaders were not happy. There was a lot of talk afterwards about just kind of, being almost confused about what was going on in the speech. I mean, it's generally not normal diplomatic understandings of how you do this kind of speech to attack the people you're talking to and talk about how they're, in terrible condition and all these kinds of things that he said in the speech. But I think, again, we have to think about what his audience is. I mean, so he's not interested in what the UN representative from Sierra Leone thinks. He's interested in what his base in the United States thinks. And I don't know the actual polling on this, but I'd imagine if we polled people who were, self-identified as MAGA supporters, that you would get the UN polling at a pretty close rate to getting what you get for Democrats in Congress with them. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, this is so for him domestically, this is one of these easy targets where he can show or appear to show this kind of strength by putting people in their place, who are trying to do things around the world.
Certainly an appealing message for his base. It has been for a long time. I mean, Nikki Haley talked about the fact that she doesn't think we should be members of the UN. This has been a long time sort of far-right talking point. But is that the reality? Is the UN completely disposable to the United States? Or does what Donald Trump said last week before the UN, does it actually matter? Is that helping the U.S. secure our primacy on the world stage, or does it undermine our power and influence in the world?
Well, it doesn't help. And I think, in fact, one of the things about this is that while that kind of rhetoric is happening, we still have a strong presence, around the world in all sorts of ways diplomatically. And so that, you can only imagine what Marco Rubio was thinking as that speech was going on, because his job is now to go out and talk to world leaders and try to, win them over to American positions. So it doesn't help our foreign policy to do that. I do want to sort of spin this slightly and say that one of the things about Donald Trump doing these kinds of events, and I'm going to also link it to the state visit to the UK, because I think both of them are actually a part of the story of why we saw an about face from him on Ukraine and Russia in the last week, and especially over the last 48 hours, would talk about Tomahawk missiles and things like that. In the UK state visit, there was a lot of pressure kind of quietly put on Trump, both by the king and by the prime minister of the UK, about Ukraine. And at the UN trip, while he was there and after doing the speech, he got a one-on-one meeting with Zelensky that I think was really important. And I think it's really interesting that not very long after that meeting with Zelensky, Trump had that post that suddenly talked about the idea that with the help of the European Union, by the way, in that statement, but that Ukraine would be in a position to potentially win back all its territory. That is a huge change, at least rhetorically, and it looks like maybe also even in terms of policy, that came from him doing these events, essentially, right? So I think as much as they cause problems to a certain extent when people there are unhappy with what's going on, they also are a stage in which he gets to interact with leaders and apparently listen.
Yes.
Which is again, I guess, the positive I would take from this.
This is the thing about Trump that I think people forget. While I was horrified to hear our president conduct himself and speak in that way before the UN General Assembly, what it is very clear that works in sort of handling and managing Donald Trump as a personality and a leader is face-to-face interactions behind closed doors. And I think your point is incredibly well taken, that when you can get his attention, when you can get him focused, and when you can bring about some pressure through who knows, flattery or whatever it may be in private, you see his position change. He is moved by those interpersonal, those face-to-face interactions behind closed doors because he figures he can spin anything to his base. Professor Lowell Barrington, thank you so much for being with us. As this story develops and continues to develop, all things foreign policy, you'll be back with us really soon. Thank you for your time, sir. Folks, coming up next, it is the Monday Sound Off. What is in your craw? Should Democrats stand firm with the shutdown, the president's meeting with Dems apparently just concluding without any forward motion? It looks like a shutdown is happening, folks. What do you think? Good strategy for Dems or bad? 855-752-4842. Phone lines and text lines are open. I'm Maggie Dawn. We discuss shutdown and everything else on your mind when we come back with this week's edition of the Monday Sound Off, next here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you're just joining me, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, as we have been working to fine-tune this program, one of the things that has become very clear is that I want to talk with all of you more. We want some structured time for you to be able to express what is top of your mind, the things that are bothering you, or to just call me up and have a conversation, a great discussion about the day's news. We've now created a segment just for that every Monday, starting this Monday, right now at 5:30. Every Monday, we're going to have Sound Off Monday, where you can call in and talk about basically whatever you would like. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Before we dive in, of course, it is Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold, a statewide, multi-state text-to-win contest. You're going to want to text in this word right now to get entered to win a daily prize of either $200 or gold jewelry, and to get entered to win our grand prize of two tickets, club-level indoor tickets to Green Bay versus Minnesota on November 23rd. That's a noon start game, plus a gas card to get you back and forth to the game. The word to win today and to get yourself entered for those great prizes is football, F-O-O-T-B-A-L-L, football. With that, whether it is everything from Gaza to the government shutdown, from free speech to SpaceX, from Cardinal Dolan to congressional Democrats, what do you want to talk about? We've got a place for you and some breaking news to kick it all off. Apparently, we are headed to a shutdown. The Democrats' demand of President Trump and congressional Republicans has been simple. Restore the tax advantage for folks that have to get their insurance through the ACA exchange, restore the subsidy so that people do not have to go without health insurance. That is their demand. That is it. There's other little things, but that is the core of their demand. And it appears that House Democrats and congressional Democrats on the Senate side as well are standing strong on that demand. I think this is a good fight to have. This is the right fight to have in this moment. Of course, Donald Trump and Russell Vogt, the Darth Vader of the White House, threatening to fire thousands of government employees if a shutdown occurs. They're not so interested in anybody actually getting affordable coverage, affordable health care. No, they just want to use it as an excuse to can more federal employees. We've got a little sound of Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer responding after talks this afternoon broke down. Let's take a listen.
We laid out to the president some of the consequences of what's happening in health care. And by his face and by the way he looked, I think he heard about them for the first time. The closing of rural hospitals. The fact that so many clinics are closing. And I don't know if he knew this before, but the fact that people will pay $4,000 more a year, $400 more a month, close to $5,000 more a year on their healthcare premiums if we don't do anything. And people don't know what to do. The average working family can't afford that.
Folks, I think this is the fight to have. The reality is that come November 1st, when the ACA exchanges open up, there are going to be thousands of families that will no longer be able to afford health insurance. I'm talking about farmers, small business owners, folks whose employers do not provide health coverage. This is an abomination. Republicans are throwing around the figure $1.5 trillion. I think that's a grossly inflated number, but let's put this in context. They have given away more, literally, multiple times $1.5 trillion to billionaires, 100 millionaires, people who will never have to have a boss or get a paycheck or save for retirement or save to pay for their kids' college education, people that have their names on buildings. They have given multiple times that amount of money away to the 0.1% in Donald Trump's tax cuts of 2017 and his tax cuts in the big, brutal bill. If you want to spend $1.5 trillion, I say don't give it to billionaires and 100 millionaires and mega corporations. Spend the money to make sure that U.S. citizens have health insurance, for crying out loud. It's now your turn to weigh in. Phone lines are open. Let's start with Ali in the Northwoods. What you got for us?
Well, something that you really haven't discussed today, but I think it's very important that people get online and get informed about data centers and the trouble that they will cause in the long run for the few dollars that people think they're going to get in the beginning. Get to those meetings. Get informed. Get to those meetings. Look up what's happening down south, how the water and how the taxes and how the how much their electric bills have gone up. People really need to get that done before we get any more data centers planned in Wisconsin. It's not good, and in the long run, we can't do anything about it once it's here.
Yeah, Ali, couldn't agree with you more. That's Ali's sound off on this first weekly Monday sound off. Data centers, they're cramming them into rural communities as well as poorer communities. People complain about the hums. They're blowing through available energy supply. I understand that Microsoft is now revving up to restart Four Mile Island just to serve data centers in the far northeast. These are going to sap our energy grid. We do not have a stable energy grid. It's a major, major national security problem, and yet we're giving it away to the AI companies. No back end for regular Americans. And again, the water usage, 8 million gallons being estimated for the data centers in Racine County from Lake Michigan. Oh my goodness, folks. It is time for you to sound off. 855-752-4842. Cornell from Merrill. Welcome to the show, sir. What you got for us?
Hi, Maggie, a great fan of Civic Media. I was very upset on Thursday when Fox stated that due to the escalator fiasco in the United Nations, that Waiters, the reporter, stated that they should bomb the United Nations. This is a horrible statement and a horrible threat. I filed a report to the FBI Friday, and I also I got a real person. I talked to them that they shouldn't be spitting out this threat to bomb the United Nations. I thought Fox should be suspended or fined. Nobody on the nightly shows have ever said anything like this. And also, she said to file a report to the FCC. I did that today. If anybody wants to file a report on lies or threats, you can go to the FCC and file under tell them your story.
Cornell, thank you so much. We actually have that sound. This is Jesse Waters on Fox calling for the bombing of the UN. By the way, the elevator stopped because someone in Trump's entourage hit the stop button and the teleprompter didn't work because Trump's entourage didn't know that they were responsible for actually making sure that the UN had the script for his speech. This was all his own entourage's doing. Let's listen to Jesse Waters call for bombing the gassing the UN.
what's going on with the escalator. What do you think?
Yeah, they sabotaged them.
Yeah.
And they could have hurt the first lady.
Yeah.
Trump would have fallen and it would have gotten back up. But, you know,
they would have blamed it on his rhetoric.
And then they sabotaged the teleprompter.
Yeah.
I mean, this is an insurrection. And what we need to do is either leave the UN or we need to bomb it.
Mm.
It is in New York, though, right?
Yeah, yeah,
it could is. Be some fallout there.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Maybe gas it?
No.
That's not too
bad.
Don't
my
gas
goodness.
It. Okay.
He's
but
kidding.
We need to
He's
destroy
kidding.
It. Maybe just can we demolish it?
I've heard enough. So let me get this straight. Kimmel gets yanked from the air, but this. And I'm just gonna call Jesse Waters says all kinds of stupid stuff every freaking day on Fox News. He was being cheeky, but it is still overtly violent. Why would that seem like a good joke to make, Mr. Waters? I feel your anger about that. Folks, it is our first ever Monday Sound Off here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Get your 2 cents, nickel, dime, or quarter in 855-752-4842. First-time callers, veterans, go to the front of the line. Stan from Racine, welcome to the show. What you got for us?
Hi, Maggie. I love your show. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
I was wondering, and I don't know if I have the terminology right, but could you explain or define what rank file voting in a primary is?
Sure. This is one of those really important things for folks to know about. Rank choice voting, basically.
Choice.
Yeah, you bet, Stan. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for calling. Rank choice voting basically means where voters rank candidates in their order of preference instead of choosing just one, right? So say there's five candidates. You would list literally one of the candidates ranked as your top one, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It is also known as instant runoff voting because it simulates a runoff by eliminating candidates in rounds until one candidate secures a majority of the vote. It allows voters to express preferences in a much more specific way. All first choice in the first round count. They're all tallied. Any candidate in that first round that gets more than 50% of the first choice votes, they win. But if no candidate wins a clear majority, the candidate with the fewest number one rankings gets eliminated. Okay? And the ballots that had that person as their number one rank are then redistributed to the voters' next highest or the second ranked candidate. We're going to continue to talk about what I'm generally going to term democracy reforms, because other than the Trumpiest Trumpers, most of us want a better selection of candidates. We want more options. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It is the Monday 5:30 Sound Off. Phone lines are open to each and every one of you. So are the text lines. Steve from Mount Horeb, what you got for us?
Yeah, Maggie. Good afternoon. I guess the UN thing that kind of put a segue into what I wanted to say. I just wanted my disgust at those fans at the Ryder Cup yesterday. Yeah, I woke up this morning in a good mood. I saw that on SportsCenter, and it's ruined my whole day. And then you had to play the Jesse Water thing, but I appreciate what you're doing. I just wanted to, I've been a long time listener. This is the first time I've called in. I just think yesterday during the Ryder Cup, the way the Americans acted. And then when I was listening to Todd Olbaugh, they were saying that Europeans are afraid to come to the United States because they're afraid to get shot. And this is what we put on one of the biggest stages, you know, the Ryder Cup.
Steve, I hear you. Sorry to cut you off, buddy. Thank you so much for calling. I hope you call back again, whether it's on the Monday Sound Off or otherwise. If you don't know, American fans at the Ryder Cup were awful to the European team. Just awful. Unruly, rude, boorish, absolute display of the worst behavior. Should have been condemned by everybody put a bad taste in my mouth as well. Come back. We're going to continue to take your calls on this first installment of the Monday Sound Off right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It is your last chance. We have just a smidgy over 7 minutes left in this hour for you to get entered to win some great prizes, all on Civic Media's dime and Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold statewide and multi-state text-to-win contest. Every day, multiple times a day, we drop words of the hour. You text that word in via the Civic Media app, not the old-fashioned way, and it will get you entered to win a daily prize of either $200, cold hard cash, gold jewelry, and it'll get you entered to win our grand prize, two tickets, indoor club-level seats, to watch Green Bay play Minnesota on November 23rd at 12 p.m., plus a gas card to get you to the game. It's a $1,500 value. Do not miss out on your opportunity to get in on this fun. The word to enter to win this hour is football, F-O-O-T-B-A-L-L. Get your texts in now so that you, too, can have some fun this fall on Civic Media. Good luck to everybody. It is also our very first Monday Sound Off. We're going to be doing this every Monday at 5:30. Because I know there's a bunch of stuff that ticks me off that I never get to talk about on the show, and I bet there is for you too. So feel free to call in or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. First-time callers and texters, you go to the top of the line. We've got Adam from Oregon texting in, Maggie, love the news segment. Let's sound off. While the macro media are foaming at the mouth around James Comey and that distraction, our fascist-in-chief recently signed a new national security directive to identify not only groups but individuals the administration deems a, quote, threat. The list of potential threatening identifiers is sprawling and intentionally vague. This is the beginning of detaining and disappearing of American citizens. Adam, I agree with you. Part of the trouble and one of the reasons for this segment is that it is the Steve Bannon flood the zone tactic. There's so much crazy, like head-scratching, awful news, so much of it every day, that sometimes we don't zoom out or we fail to see and talk about some of these really other scary things that are happening. In my opinion, the National Guard deployments, which, by the way, we've got some breaking news. Judge Simon, a federal district court judge in Oregon, has set a hearing for tonight. This is a hearing on a restraining order to restrict Trump's deployment or perhaps prohibit Trump's deployment of National Guard in Oregon. This is not good. But all of this, the deployment of the National Guard, these massed ICE detentions, right? The violence that you see in many of them all over social media. And let me be clear yet again, lest I get some hate texts. If someone's here off documentation, undocumented, and they commit crimes, if someone's here as an asylee or otherwise and commits crimes and they do not have permanent residence status yet, they should be forced to leave. But due process is essential. The manner in which these detentions are getting executed is violent. They are rounding up people that have no criminal record. None at all. And it is deeply concerning. But all of this, to Adam from Oregon's point, the thing that really worries me is that this makes the American collective psyche more susceptible to the sort of things that Adam is talking about. If you disagree with the president, if you tell a joke that he doesn't like, if your media company opposes his policies, well then, you're committing treason or you're a traitor and we'll just lock you up and throw away the key. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. It's not how it has to be. We can do so much better than this, everybody. We've got Rick from Waukesha. Rick, welcome to the show. What you got for us?
Hello, Maggie. Say thank to you for your show and all your colleagues for your dedication to the greater good of our country. I just want to say I hope the civic media network throughout the state is going to heavily promote the upcoming No Kings protest throughout the state.
No doubt. I mean, I will be at No Kings. There's going to be tons of them. It is coming up on October 18th. Go to nokings.org. That is nokings.org. You can find an event in your town. There's going to be tons of them across the state of Wisconsin. Probably one of the largest mass protests in U.S. history. Rick, I'll be there. Are you going to be there, my friend?
Absolutely, but I just haven't heard a lot about it, unfortunately. That's why I'm calling you to hope you start promoting it more.
Well, that's what the Monday Sound Off is for, Rick. We can bring attention to the things that you think I am missing. We can talk about any or all of it. I got time for just one more caller here. Charles from Milwaukee, can you make it quick, my friend?
Yep, I will, Maggie. My sound off is I'm sick and tired of the trying to make Charlie Kirk a saint. You know, I listened to this guy in the morning, Reese Waters, and he was going through the clips of the things that Charlie Kirk said horrible about in the people and then especially black people.
Yes.
Have black kids. You know, when he made the reference about, you know, the pilots to come on and introduce themselves as Ramon and Cadillac. That's racist. Yeah. I don't need for non-black people to tell me what racism is. It's racist. And for the Cardinal,
yes,
to try to uphold him as a I don't care how softly he spoke or how many people he let get in front of him that he can debate. That does not stop you if you're out there saying horrible racist things. You are racist, no matter how people can try to define it. He took on all the comments. So what? He's a racist.
Charles, I agree with you. Shame on every single member of Congress, especially those white folk, the white people in Congress that voted in favor of the Charlie Kirk memorialization. Shame on you. Shame on you. What message do you send to black and brown folks in this country? That is no good, but we try to do good every day here on the show. Thanks for everybody participating in this Monday's Sound Off. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it's always better when we stand together.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.